I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
We're rebels just for kicks, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus Speller. Luke Moore's here.
All right.
Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Pete Donaldson's here.
Yes, I am. Hi, gang. Good to have you with us.
Hello, pal.
All right.
Hello.
Buddy. It's lovely to have us all here, of course. The league season has finished. The FA Cup just happened. We'll talk about that. The World Cup's just around the corner. It's that nice little time. The weather's warm and everyone's thinking, you know what? Life's pretty good right now.
The metatarsal zone. We talked about it last year.
Slap bang in the middle of it.
Yeah. The metatarsal
zone. We're sort of winding down and winding up at the same time.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. That FA Cup final gave me the...
Chills?
It calmed me down a bit, let's say.
Yeah. No, Pete, it lit my fire. I wanted to burn all night. I wanted to burn on through after that.
I had a World Cup fever, and now that's lifted my World Cup fever, and now I can get on back to getting the World Cup fever back.
Mourinho's the anecdote.
Jose Mourinho's
antidote. Antidote, sorry.
Jose Mourinho's Manchester United were one of those cooling strips that your mum puts on your forehead when you got a fever. For your World Cup fever.
The anecdote is the anecdote. If Jose Mourinho is an anecdote, it's very much the anecdote that the head of HR tells you about workplace bullying.
Yeah.
That's the only anecdote he is at the moment.
It'll almost certainly end with, needless to say, I had the last laugh. Yeah. Although he didn't have the last laugh in the final, did he?
No, certainly not.
There was still a bit of a needless to say, though, because he was saying he didn't think Chelsea deserved the win and that he would be really interested to see what the write-up is, because if his team had played like Chelsea, he thinks he knows how it would go. It made me daydream about a world in which next season just no one will interview him.
Yeah, I can't
imagine. How would he react to that?
He'd be annoyed.
No one gave him his crap.
He'd be very annoyed.
The thing is, Jim, like, I was doing some painting on Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
And I had the football on the laptop, mm-hmm. and I was listening to his post-match interview while I was painting. So I wasn't having a great time anyway.
I've never heard vandalising being called painting. No.
Yeah, daubing. He was daubing.
I was tagging my own dining room.
And Mourinho, Tox 12.
And Mourinho did really... I mean, the only reason it didn't come across like this is because English isn't his first language and he obviously speaks with an accent. But he did really pretty much say the equivalent of, well, I can't wait to hear what you say about it.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you what, if you say the way you say about Man United, it was really childish and actually quite pathetic.
It just gets annoying, doesn't it? Like, you know, we all know that he does this to sort of, you know, create this siege mentality and you know, pour all the sort of all the criticism onto himself, but when he doesn't win, he just comes across like a prat.
Yeah.
He's a prat.
And you have this situation where, you know, the old saying, if you dance with the devil, you wait for the music to stop. Well, Mourinho's music has stopped because Man United haven't won a trophy. So the philosophical question to ask, if there is a place to ask a philosophical question on this mm-hmm. show, which there may not be, and we'll let the listeners decide, is that where do you go when your excuse for playing the most turgid brand of football of the season from about November onwards results in zero trophies for the cabinet?
Where do you go when you win a treble and then when you win nothing?
Yeah. I mean,
he's not Brendan Rodgers, is he?
No.
By the looks
more
of
on
it.
Him later, Marcus.
Much more on
You'll
him.
Be singing his praises.
Very, well, I think we all will. Mm. I think we all should. I mean... Are you being a bit harsh? Because at least Manchester, I mean, they threw everything at Chelsea
they
in the
did.
Second half.
Absolutely.
And actually, I thought the second half was quite entertaining because of that. Now, obviously, they had to. They weren't a goal down.
Yeah, that's fair.
They should have had an equaliser. They were unlucky not to. I mean, Paul Pogba.
Is it, at that point, is it unlucky, though? It was just bad. Right, that's just a bad header.
No, but they were...
A massive chance.
It was a massive chance. No, but in other areas, they were a bit unlucky. You know, on another day, one would have fallen for them. Chelsea defended very well on one hand, but the other hand, they rode their luck slightly, you know. When you're saying that about Manchester United, they finished second pretty comfortably in the end. And
how many times have you said that this season?
No, because... so if you're
it's arguing, not your fault, but you do say that all the time.
The thing is, you know, City have made it hard for him to find a narrative, so he's got to do it somewhere.
But can I also say that one of us in this room, and I call the listeners to this as well, but one of us in this room really is going to have to spearhead this. I suggest it's Pete. Someone's going to have to distract Phil Jones on the way to the airport.
Oh my god!
Because
that will happen again with Eden Hazard.
Jim, I feel like if we let him go, we're complicit.
Good men saying nothing.
Yeah,
that's right.
Exactly. Yeah, first they came for me. Yeah, the last they came for Phil Jones.
It's fair to say he was bamboozled. Mm. You don't often use that word.
But it's like he bamboozles himself. You know, I had a good conversation. I'm not going to name drop him, but I had a good conversation with a decent quality, top level midfield player last week, right? And he said to me, it is incredible how some players at the top level who play in defensive positions just don't see danger. Mm. Phil Jones is one of those players. Phil Jones is a defensive player. And that's all he is.
Reactionary.
He's not a Steve Bruce type goal scoring defender. He's a defensive player. We can all agree on that. He does not see danger.
Well, maybe
when he sees it, it's too late.
Maybe he literally can't see it because he's always like gurning and squinting.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe his lips get in his way.
And the thing about is the thing about the penalty he gave away on Eden Hazard. I made the point on Twitter, but for those who didn't see it. His recovery is actually quite good. In football, obviously, people talk a lot about defenders' like recovery pace. Like someone like Ledley King was exceptionally good at it. Kyle Walker's very good at it, gets him out of a lot of trouble. Mm-hmm. Phil Jones' recovery pace on display against Hazard in that incident was actually very good.
Oh, so there's an encouraging point.
But,
okay,
and there's always a but,
yes.
He forces him so wide that you'd fancy arguably the best goalkeeper in the league to save it.
Yes.
Then he just takes him out anyway. The decision making is absolutely ridiculous.
Well, the thing is, he took him out because he was trying to win the ball, wasn't he? He just mistimed it. It's not like, you know, one wrong decision has negated the need for the
but
other
it,
one.
But it, fe- it? But it feeds into my opinion that he doesn't see danger. So he doesn't see danger in the first instance and he has to recover. When he does recover, he then doesn't fully assess the danger properly and makes the wrong decision again, thinking I can nick that ball when he can't. And what he should have just done is backed his goalkeeper to save it, because Hazard's about to pull the trigger there.
Well, I was about to say, Hazard,
a very cute angle.
He loves a dummy, does Hazard. You know, he's very, very difficult to tackle, to pick up, all the rest of it. So, in a sense, Jones did part of the job, as you say, getting back there.
Yeah.
But then, don't dive in on Eden Hazard unless you're really sure. But then, I suppose he wasn't.
Either that, or get it out of the way now. When yes, none of us really care.
That's
quite,
right.
Yeah, it's quite interesting.
Or lulling him into a false sense of security.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
It's all part of the plan, mugs.
Do you think it's quite interesting that Jones goes to the World Cup, but Smalling doesn't? Yeah, Smalling is much more assured in the cup final.
Yeah, Smalling...
I wouldn't take either of the bastards. Yeah. But I'm just making the point.
Yeah, true enough. But we mentioned Eden Hazard. I mean, the confidence that man has, the way he strokes the ball past David De Gea in a Wembley final like that. Glorious. Absolutely glorious. The confidence, not only to give him the eyes and all the rest of it, he knows he's going to score. It's just sensational. I know it's only a penalty and all, but my goodness.
No, it was a good penalty.
Though. Oliver was correct not to send Jones off, of course, according to the law change, the amendment to law 12.
Someone should have told Chelsea players.
Someone should have told Antonio Conte and a lot of listeners. Yeah. I think Gary Lineker tried and got... pelters for it, and he's like, well, I'm only telling you the
maybe,
facts.
Maybe that's Phil Jones is kind of like, that's what he can see. He can't see danger, but he knows when he's going to get a red card and when he isn't. I'm not going to get done for this.
I'm going to make it look like I was trying to get the ball.
are you going to be super critical of Eden Hazard, who had a good game, obviously, in the cup final?
He was the difference.
You'd like him to... I mean, I don't think he's created that many goals this season. Mm-hmm. And for the type of player he is, when he gets the ball at that in that part of the pitch and drives at a defence, you think he'd create more goals than he actually did this year. But he scored quite a few.
He did. I mean, he's hot property. And will he be there next season? I think. Do you think that's it with Hazard? He's clearly got all the tools to be one of the best players in the world. Some would say he already is. Is that, I suppose, indecision or question marks over his future lingering away in his head, Jim, that's perhaps holding him back from some performances? We saw him the other season when Leicester won the league. He was pretty poor. And then, you know, has a really good season sort of on and off. And this season, as Luke said, he's been decent. But that question mark over his future is lingering.
I think he perhaps ebbs and flows with Chelsea themselves. I think he himself has even said recently, you just never know with Chelsea. There's a lot of instability there. And that's going to affect the players, isn't it? And the best players... They don't need to be at a club like that. He can probably go to Real Madrid or Barcelona or Bayern if he absolutely wants to and forces the issue. So sooner or later, he's probably going to think, you know what? I could get a really big contract and then move somewhere else and I won't have all of this kind of chaos.
I think that's
and
right.
It would be tempting. Yep.
And I think that's right, Jim. I think it's obviously a mug's game trying to second guess Hazard's motivations. He was very coy in that interview before the cup final with, I think, Gabby Logan. But, I mean, what he does need, his stated aim is to win the Ballon d'Or, because these top players are really, and I don't mean this is like an old man dig, but they all are about themselves really these days. And Hazard would have won the majority of stuff at club level anyway. If he wants to win the Ballon d'Or, what he needs to do is what Jim's saying. He needs to give himself a platform, a stable platform like that. And you won't get a stable platform at Chelsea, because you never know what's happening from one season to the next.
And how weird that we've just used Real Madrid as an example of a place that's
you
more
did,
stable.
Not
yeah,
me.
I'd stand by it as well in recent times.
I found it interesting, Gary Cahill's comments about Antonio Conte. And I think one of the pundits on the BBC said that he hasn't come out and said, we really want the manager to stay and all that kind of stuff. Cahill's just said, look, whatever they're going to do, just do it.
Yeah.
Pull off the sticking plaster.
It's come to that.
I'm fed up of talking about it, to be honest.
But the toxicity of having a team that's just having a manager that's so kind of just the lack of intensity there. And it's clear that it's seeped into the players and they're just.
Which is.
Everyone's just sort of going, I just don't want to get injured for the World Cup. That's all I want.
It's strange because he does have a lack of intensity, or he certainly has infused his team with a lack of intensity. But the man is basically a volcano in a suit. It's odd how that has ceased to kind of, you know, translate onto the pitch.
Don't you think it's really intensely focused intensity for quite a short amount of time every so often? That's basically what it is. And the rest of the time, he just couldn't give a shit. It's an amazing combination of intensity and not giving a shit.
Did anyone forget that David De Gea was at Chelsea? David Luiz was at Chelsea.
Yeah.
See him coming out there, I was like, oh yeah, he's hardly kicked a ball.
Well, he did,
but I thought to myself, Cahill's sort of been out in and outside, and Chelsea been pretty decent defensively, but you'd have thought he'd have had a run out in the League Cup. I can't remember the last time I saw him play.
He did come in maybe about 3 months ago for a couple of games.
Yeah.
But it's good news for England that Gary Cahill's come back in. And he played well.
He did.
At the weekend.
Captained the side.
And I'll tell you who was. I feel like we should make a special note to say this more often because we just take it for granted. N'Golo Kante was ridiculous. I mean, I've never seen a player be so consistently good since I can remember. I mean, it's just standard. He's going to put in a 9 out of 10 every single game. But his positional play and the way he, a great example of the way he sees danger is probably unparalleled in the Premier League. I mean, he is so good.
He's a magnificent player, given the man of the match. Do you think Conte, with that sort of 3-5-1-1, was trying to stink out the place a bit? And
was he given man of the match, Conte?
He was.
I thought Rudiger.
Well,
was
I felt because on the BBC website they said Conte was man of the match, but I thought it was Rudiger. Certainly both were absolutely brilliant. But yeah, do you think that in the, you know, it was a case of who was going to stink it out more? Man United flinch first with Jones going in on Hazard, and then Mourinho's like, oh crap, we're going to have to attack.
And yeah. Chelsea ceded a lot of possession to United, didn't they?
They did, yeah. Lukaku not starting, he said that he was injured, did make a difference. But again, Mourinho moaning about Lukaku not playing and said, well, you know, if he can't start, then... Pff. And he's essentially going, well, you know, I'll have to put in those other guys.
But he did this last week, didn't he?
You ever kicked a football, Mourinho?
he saved one.
He did this recently, didn't he, when he was saying... people always ask me, why Lukaku? And today I show you why not. It was a game that he didn't play. Forget the exact game, but
that's
it's
right,
basically
yeah.
digs at Rashford and Martial, like specifically, in this weird, overt yet underhand way. And it's like, who does that help? No one.
He seems to be, he's made out that he's got no presence or no one's operating at that level up front. And so he has to play Lukaku all the time. And because we mentioned at the top of all this about Mourinho using these trophies to justify the way that his team plays. And yeah, and some you may subscribe to that, you may not. It depends what you look for in a football match, I guess. Everyone's different. But he's going to ask for a load more money in the summer.
Oh, yeah.
And he's talked quite a lot this summer about how City can afford players that United can't afford, which I don't think is true. And if you look at the players that Mourinho has brought in, I mean, Ibrahimovic, gone. Mkhitaryan's gone. Lindelof, I mean, you know, if you're being generous there, you said the jury's still out.
Mm. Sanchez has underperformed.
He's frozen out Eric Bailly. I mean, he didn't start the final, which is mad because he was fit as far as I know. Matic has been done well. He's been decent. Pogba has been okay. He's probably been a little bit better than people have said, but he's not been like brilliant. Sanchez, as you mentioned, and Lukaku's done well. So it's a bit of a mixed bag. Mm. And you wonder whether the difference between United under Mourinho and City under Guardiola is that you feel like Guardiola's building the team. If Guardiola goes and identifies a transfer target tomorrow, you sort of get the idea what he's doing. You know why, and it seems to make sense. It's a bit scattergun with Mourinho at Man United.
It is.
It's not like he's just chucking a lot of players together.
It is, and I think that it's a good point. And I think with Guardiola, you saw the unity throughout the season in that dressing room with those players. They want to play for Guardiola. They want to play for each other, even if they're on the bench. And Guardiola phases people in and out of the side. You know, Bernardo Silva didn't really have much of a kick for the first few months or whatever it was of the season, then bit of a regular in there. Raheem Sterling was the main man. He took him out the side and so on. They all seem to buy into what the manager's doing. Now, I know Guardiola can be a bit of a prickly character and people are buying, certainly said, you know, a bit of a strange one and so on. That's quite obvious at times.
He's just a massive nerd, isn't he?
Yeah.
A football nerd.
But it seems like a very happy camp. And where he is, you don't hear too much, unless I'm mistaken, of players being a little bit annoyed about not...
Well, and I find that odd because, you know, we went to an event just this week, just gone. A lot of it was about Bobby Robson, right? Yeah. And a lot of the players we spoke, we heard talk, and certainly players and manager I've spoken to in the past as well will say a great thing a manager does, a brilliant thing that a top manager will do is if you're not included, if you're not playing regularly, and your time hasn't come yet, or maybe your best years are behind you, you're coming back from an injury, you always feel like part of the team, like part of the squad.
Mm.
And that to me is an obviously logical thing to do as a manager. You've got a team of players, you can't use them all the time, you want to make them feel included. Mourinho doesn't ever do that.
Well,
and I find that really odd, that even if it's just outwardly to people like us who can see it outside looking in, that he doesn't seem to make an effort to build a team. Now, I understand it might be different behind the scenes, but even so, even if it's just outward facing, it's still quite corrosive.
It is, yeah. And the players who played under Sir Alex Ferguson would say that Ferguson would go up to them and say, right, I'm not starting you for this match.
Some of the stories about that are amazing.
Oh, brilliant. This isn't the game for you, son.
The best one was
Nicky Butt.
Ferguson with Nicky Butt saying they're going to a big game in like August or September, and he says to Nicky Butt, not for you, son, this game. Pitch is too good for you.
Yeah.
December, December or January is your time.
Pitch is a bit dry for you or something.
Yeah.
And Nicky Butt would be like, Is that good or bad? Does he rate me or does he not rate me? I don't know. But he's included him. He's basically said, don't worry, your time's coming on. I've got you down for 20 league starts this season.
Yeah.
This is your game. This is not your game.
Yeah.
This is... And when he's saying that, he's honing in on the player and making them feel a part of it.
Well, making them valued and included.
Completely, Jim.
While leaving them out, which is actually a brilliant bit of sort of kid psychology.
Completely. Does Mourinho do that? Absolutely not. No. Unless there's something behind the scenes, as you say. Now,
but you still
clearly...
got to go back to your friends and family and sort of go, and everyone knows the stories that emanate from that kind of squad.
Do you think he does that with his mates?
Well, no, but like...
Are you having a dinner party? This dinner party's not for you.
If you're Luke Shaw and you're getting bombed out by your manager each week, you've got to stand up, you know, in front of your kids and your family and your friends, and they all know that you're getting mugged off, certainly publicly, trial by fucking Mourinho every week. It's just... Ugh.
Can you imagine if you drop from the team at Man United, you get to the training ground, like your key card just doesn't work. But, all right, I guess I won't be playing at the weekend. Hopefully, it'll be activated again next week.
It'll be like in the nuclear power plant in The Simpsons when you have to crawl through that little door.
Yeah,
hey, come crawling back, have you? Yeah. A bit like that. But that's the thing, though. And Mourinho has done this in the past at Chelsea. We know he did in his first spell where he left and obviously fell out with some players, but other players were gutted that he left. I mean, it took Chelsea, the likes of Lampard and Terry, years to get over Mourinho leaving. Mm. Now, that is a sort of strange way, but Mourinho did have a charm. He did have, you know, a quality about him, and he was winning trophies then. His star has slightly waned. Perhaps his fault, perhaps, you know, other clubs coming up or whatever, Manchester City and so on. But it seems like the pressure's getting to him, and he's kind of doing his routine, but more so. And if people are falling out, he's saying, well, are you going to perform for me or not? And if you're not, you can piss off.
It's like he's become like a exaggerated like caricature of Mourinho.
Yes.
Like in the...
Because the pressure's getting to him, because he knows that if they sack him from this job, where does he go?
Well, think of it. You've gone from the person that people love to hate to the person people just hate.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting.
But, well, we'll see what happens next year,
I suppose. Well, your prediction will be gone by June, which I really thought...
Was that May? I think it was May.
Oh, no,
you said June. You said June.
You also said that you didn't say which June.
Yeah, I'm struggling now, aren't I?
Yeah, you've got a few more weeks.
No one's right 100% of the time.
It's unlikely. But going back to Chelsea, what about Willian? He didn't start the match, came on late. Many are suggesting there's tension between him and Conte after he posted a photo of Chelsea celebrating. Yeah, well, clearly. Celebrating their FA Cup win with trophy emojis covering Conte's head and body.
I saw it. Yeah. I saw it in real time. I follow Willian.
I thought to myself, you could have put a jobby in there.
The old Bayern Munich style.
Vidal was it who did that?
I followed remember it was it last Monday or Thursday we were talking about how much FIFA we've got on the scale of 1 to 5. Mm. When I had that conversation with you guys on the way home, or on the way here, one or two, I might have already mentioned it. I've started following all the England players on Instagram.
You've got to follow Willian.
But you know it gives you the suggested ones.
Mm. Right.
Gave me Willian, so I followed him, so I saw that in real time.
Lovely.
Yeah.
And you went, oh, spicy.
Yeah, it was spicy. Well, I think it's spicy purely because Willian has said, I'm not going to be at Chelsea next season if Conte's still going to be there, which basically I don't think Conte is, so that's fine. Mm. But also, Willian is so consistent. Talk about consistent football players.
So,
even in that season when Chelsea completely piled in,
he was the
Willian
only
was
one
fantastic.
Who,
Mourinho is clearly making every call he can to keep Conte at Chelsea, because if Man United, then there is interest with Willian, that man could save the whole operation there. He's that good.
Yeah.
He's that good. But he was asked by Brazilian media if relations were good with Conte, and he replied, oh boy, do you really want me to tell you?
Yeah.
And then he didn't tell us.
Oh, boy.
Was it Ed Sam Beckett from Quantum Leap?
Yeah. you haven't had a Quantum Leap reference for a little while on this show. Well. Welcome, return.
For the kids. For the kids.
Exactly. Will Willian be lifting the World Cup in the summer?
Quite possibly.
What do you think?
Quite possibly.
Oh, find out on the predictions.
Oh, boy. Do you really want me to tell you, Luke Moore?
Find out on the predictions, which happened. We've still got to unveil the season-long predictions, which we'll do at the end of the season.
Oh, because we had a Champions League winner in there, so that's why we're waiting.
And we've got to do the World Cup prediction as usual. Pete's got a little bit of... haven't you got a little bit of ephemera for that?
I've made a little box. Ephemera. I made a little box. I didn't make a little box. A video game company sent me a rather decorative box so you can repurpose it for the World Cup predictions. And it came with a free... kind of like gemstone, so that can be for the winner.
The World
Cup crystal. Yeah.
The World Cup crystal.
Beautiful.
Take it down to crystals.
Yeah.
God. I was in a swanky bar on Saturday, and guess who was propping up the bar?
No way.
Alan Disco Pardew.
Did you talk to him?
No, I cancelled my membership.
Membership.
I thought this was a joke. And you said he was wearing a short sleeve shirt.
He was wearing a shirt. He looked like a bus driver.
Oh, I thought that was a joke when
so
you
did
merged
I.
WhatsApp.
No, he was in. He was in the bar.
Where's all the social media content?
Yeah,
where's
it?
The
pictures? It's a members club. You're not allowed to take pictures.
Oh, what? You can take a surreptitious picture. Yeah. We know you do
also,
it on the tube.
But hand it over to us. We're not members.
Hang on, yeah, hang on a minute.
Hang on a minute.
Just go to a pub.
Just go to a
members
pub.
Club.
Well, Soho gets very busy on a Saturday.
What is wrong with you, Don? Go somewhere else then.
Oh, yeah. I know. Well, yeah, when I saw him there, I was like, I'm never darkening these doors again.
I don't want to be a member of any club that have me as a member.
It was literally the Groucho, which is a Groucho match court. So.
Yeah. Oh, Pa's just knocking up there.
That's lovely. Oi, Peter, you know where I'm dining tonight?
Where?
Wings.
Are you?
I got a wings.
Yes.
Are you
got a wings? Yes. Well, report nice. Back on Thursday.
Thursday, I'll let you know.
Marcus Speller won a cup final in his, with his Saturday League team.
At the is that why you're going to wings?
All right, you've twisted my arm. At Wembley, FC.
Speller sent a message around the WhatsApp. It's cup final season, we're allowed to talk about it. Speller sent a message around...
It was in Wembley as well.
Yeah, but it was at Wembley FC. And you sent a message around yesterday or Saturday saying, I won the cup final, all the details about it. And I replied, which everyone agreed with, saying...
Everyone agreed.
You definitely didn't score because you would have told us by now. And you said, no, I didn't score, but I won 2-0. And I said to you earlier, would you rather have scored and lost the final?
Be honest.
And you said no, but there was a glint in your eye.
Bollocks. Absolute bollocks. Shout out to the history old boys. Hoo, hoo, hoo.
Yeah. Hoo, hoo, hoo.
Yeah, lovely cup win at Wembley.
Brilliant.
Got to shake your moneymaker, haven't you?
Are you signing on for next season after that?
I think...
Have you had assurances?
I think they'll decide.
Yeah.
they've encouraged me to retire a number of times.
Well, I'll text your...
contest delay, isn't it?
I'll text your manager and he didn't reply.
No, he won't do.
No.
He keeps changing his number.
Yeah.
There we are. Right, shall we talk about some club happenings and maybe the Scottish Cup final after this? Yes, we shall. Sorry, I said yes, we shall.
Well, there you go. Last week Luke asked for some more jingles, so I've made a new one.
Get your tits out.
Oh, dear. What on earth?
That is James
Horncastle.
James Horncastle last week on the Continent talking about the manager, tits.
Christian tits.
Hamburg's Christian tits. Yeah. It's contextual.
Contextual, it's fine.
Yeah. It's not misogynistic.
I wondered why you were so enthusiastic to do that. You let yourself down there, Don.
Why have I let myself down? James, respected journalist James Horncastle has.
Yeah. Previously respected Horncastle.
Been caught on a long mic.
Respected Horncastle, James Horncastle. caught on a long mic.
Been caught on a long mic saying what he really thinks.
Yeah. Right, enough of this nonsense.
On the Continent is available on Wednesdays.
Luke Moore has...
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Some exciting news.
Yes, on Monday, 18th of June, we'll be hosting a World Cup party for England v Tunisia. England's first game in the big tournament, of course. It's at the Ace Hotel in Shoreditch, East London. Now, we'd like you to come along if you can. If you're local, don't make a special trip. If you're local, come along. Tickets are free, and we already released some via social media last week, which have been snapped up. But due to increased demand, we're releasing more from 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. That's Tuesday, 22nd of May. So this is fair warning. Tomorrow morning, Tuesday, 22nd of May, 9 a.m, a load more free tickets have been put on sale at the Ace Hotel in Shoreditch for Monday, 18th of June, England v Tunisia. Come and watch it with us. Pete will be there. Jim will be there. Marcus will be there. Hopefully you will too.
So get
your tickets out.
Get your tickets out for the lads.
Get your ticks out.
Get your ticks out. But they will sell like scalding hotcakes. Well, they won't sell. They'll be snapped up. Yeah,
so check our social media for the link to where to get them from on Twitter, Instagram and all that lot. And you'll hopefully be able to snap one up.
Yes, hotel's a bit fancy, isn't it? How do we swing that?
Because we stopped you organising them. Other people are doing it now.
Or you literally got maybe about members bars.
Or you've got to just turn up.
Groucho now. The last time we turn up and it's kind of like, oh, Pete, you've only got a plus two in this.
Pards, if you're listening,
yeah,
come along.
If Pardew's there, yeah, I'm going to turn on my heel.
Well, he may well take up our offer of one of our free tickets.
I think we can all be thankful that he just won't be at the tournament.
If he's quick enough.
He will be. He'll be doing telly.
I love it. I've spotted Pards in church. Pete sees him at a members bar.
Nice. Yeah.
There you go.
There we go.
Tells you everything you need to know.
Also, Burger King.
And Jim?
Not back alley? Him.
Okay. When
back alley.
When you're the Burger King, you can do what you want. Yeah.
That's a joke, by the way. Because I would never go to Burger King. I'm a McDonald's till I die.
We've had this out before. Yeah. You're a weirdo.
Well, and then you will die if you keep going there. Yeah. Right, now it's our correspondence with Peter.
Oh, God, I'm back up, am I?
That's right, yeah. Follow the running order.
Holy, well, you know.
You've got nothing to remember.
No.
Apart from the emails.
Yeah. What are you going to do, huh? What are you going to do?
Remember it.
Remember this.
That was a middle finger.
Marcus. Hello, Marcus from London. Oh, no. Let's bleep that out because he wants to be anonymous.
There are many Marcus in London. There's one in this room.
Yes. Yeah.
Always good to have one in there.
I agree.
There was one at the Royal Wedding, Marcus Mumford.
Very much
I saw him. He's put on the beef. Hasn't he? TV has £20. But
he's very funny. Surprisingly funny.
Yeah. He's a good lad.
Hi, Ramble crew. We'd like to remain anonymous for this one. Mystery person that I just bleeped out. As the gym I saw Jamie in has a privacy policy.
Okay.
But I ran into Jamie Redknapp in my gym.
This is Marcos Alonso, isn't it?
He came in only to head straight for the physio room. Clearly the retirement hasn't done much to improve his injury situation.
He was an injury-prone footballer.
Yeah. Hello to Thomas Arthur, not an anonymous emailer. As a resident of Sydney, Australia, I could not escape the announcement of Marcus Babbel as the next manager of Western Sydney Wanderers on a 3-year deal.
Lovely.
Babbel states one of the reasons why he went to Wonderland, which I presume is their home stadium,
is
Wonderland as in to wander land.
Oh, okay.
It's because of Socceroo Tommy Durek, who convinced his manager whilst Babbel was at Luzerne in Switzerland that the crowds were crazy. I personally see that as a bit of an oversell, with many games being fairly quiet, he's been mugged off.
We've had a few questions about Babbel for the On the Continent chaps, which I might bring out for the mailbag on Saturday, because he's managed at Hoffenheim and I think Stuttgart as well. So interesting to see why he's chosen to go to Australia. Yeah. Mm.
And hello to the person who keeps on sending us flight information.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
Well, I thought that was you just putting your email address in wrong.
No. The only thing I get wrong email-wise is the calendars.
Yeah, and it was...
I'm not very good at admin with the calendars.
The most recent email about flights was, your trip to New York is now reduced in price or something.
Yeah.
I thought, Donnie's going away again. Yeah. Check the calendars, not in there.
Check again.
Is that why you did it? You put it on the show email address?
Yeah, just get you updated.
So basically, we know what's going on.
Yeah.
Or in fact, if you're missing a flight, we can tell you. By the way, you remember you're flying.
If you want to send some flowers to my hotel.
Yeah. You missed a flight again, Pete.
I've not missed any flights.
One flight.
I've missed one flight because I forgot my passport. That's a very standard thing to do.
Standard, normal
thing to do.
That's the opposite of how the process works.
Yeah. I have nothing to declare but my face now. Let me in your country. Yeah.
To be fair, Pete shouldn't need a passport.
Why?
No. Actually, no, he looks like everybody. Yeah. Of course, you're one of them, but you definitely need a passport.
Who are you? T-back from prison break. Let me in.
Yeah.
Or you could just say to the bloke in front of you in the queue, when they've checked yours, just pass it back.
Reasons just Pete needs a passport. Barriers. One, because he looks like everyone.
Yeah.
Two, because he is a convicted criminal.
Yes.
And people deserve to know.
He could sue you there.
I don't care.
He could. He won't, though.
It's literally...
that's not actionable.
That's actionable. How dare you besmirch me on... the world's biggest football podcast. Yeah,
you haven't got any money this week, because you spent it all on members' bars.
And flights that you missed.
Yeah. Right, let's...
What's this, the trial of PTD?
Yeah.
What's going on?
I think
it's a roast.
Isn't this every week?
PTD. Yeah. Well, let's go back to club football in the Premier League. Carlos Carvajal has been sacked as Swansea manager. Of course, names linked thus far. Frank de Boer, Jaap Stam, Chris Coleman, Swedish side Osterund's manager... Graham Potter.
Ostersons. And you were a host of On the Continent, so you knew the correct way to pronounce that.
That's true.
Just that a bit of an oversight by you.
That. For you.
Yeah. It was. I'll pick you up on it, so it's fine.
Can we go back to slagging off Pete?
Ostersons.
Yeah.
There we go.
Well, I mean, Carlos Carvajal is proven himself to have a great track record in only just not being promoted from the Championship. So surely Swansea want to keep him.
He also only just didn't get relegated.
Yeah, so it's true.
Frank de Boer, 1 minute he's... Top of the Pops with Ajax, then he was at Inter,
yeah.
And then didn't last very long, lasted less at Palace, and now he's been linked to a Championship job. That's been a steady decline, hasn't it?
It has, but I mean, I think we're all in agreement that Palace just wasn't the right fit for him, because the board kind of panicked a little bit and thought, oh, let's get in a manager with a style that absolutely doesn't fit our players or squad at all.
What makes you think it didn't fit?
It was a 7 straight defeats without a goal, if I remember rightly.
Yeah.
But actually, you know, given the type of football that Swansea are always pretty much on the record of saying that they want to play,
yeah, I think
in the Championship, like, you know,
but from
kind of the
De
disaster at Palace aside, it might be okay. Yeah, absolutely. But he's got to rebuild his reputation somewhere, hasn't he?
And I also, just to follow up on that, I think what we've talked about on the Swansea front is that they've lost their identity. They need an identity back.
Yeah.
Now, no one's suggesting that Frank de Boer is automatically the right choice, but he will give them an identity.
No, I definitely.
I mean, Crystal Palace on the Frank de Boer had an identity.
They did.
It was a very distinctive identity.
A footballing passport, if you will.
Yeah, they do. They need that, Pete. Exactly.
It was a fake ID they were holding.
Yeah, it was.
But I mean, Graham Potter would be. That would probably be a bit of a gamble, you could say. Jaap Stam, old Jaap, he knows. I mean, he needs some chaps, does old Jaap. But and he could get some back. Coleman.
With Graham Potter, though,
were you
Marcus?
Rapping then?
Inadvertently, I was.
If you have to ask, the answer is no. The thing is,
flapping.
Though, with Graham Potter, is it a little bit of a sort of English arrogance from people just to think that he automatically would like to go to the Championship to manage? Because he's managing in Europe.
Yeah,
he's won trophies. I mean, he might not want to go to a Championship.
Well, no, but he's been linked to the job. So people aren't saying, oh, well... He must want to come back to these shores soon enough. He's been linked. So that's that. But
you've been linked. You've got mail.
But Chris Coleman is one the Swansea fans perhaps won't want to see.
What, because of Sunderland?
Because of Sunderland. But if you were Chris Coleman, you would be very much going on about the stuff you did with Wales.
Yes.
That would, you'd accentuate that, wouldn't you?
I mean,
heavily in the interview.
The award for the worst... The manager's award for agreeing to do the worst job possible, which should be sponsored by David Moyes, goes to Chris Coleman for taking the Sunday.
I mean, that's another Sam Beckett moment,
yeah.
Surely.
Yeah, it must be.
Swansea, that seems cool. They'll move over there. No, Sunderland. Yeah, Sunderland. Yeah.
I think we'd like to see De Boer, wouldn't we?
Yeah,
would De Boer like to see De Boer there? We don't know.
No.
But there we are.
Ask his brother.
They could both do it.
Yes.
Like, sort of speaking of
managerial vacancies, the Arsenal job hasn't been handed out yet, or appointed rather.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be handed out. You're not just going to win it in a raffle.
It should be a lottery, shouldn't it?
No.
Well, I haven't said that. They are giving it to Arteta.
Well, pretty much. Thierry Henry suddenly fancies it.
Too late in the day, guys. Come
on. I agree with you there.
Is that what the beer glitter was all about?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Shiny.
If I look like a trophy, then maybe someone will help me.
Yeah.
Well, he won't be joining the backroom staff, apparently, whoever takes the position. But he will reportedly speak to the board about the job this week, despite reports saying that Mikel Arteta has had a verbal offer from said board. So it's an interesting one with Henry. He suddenly thought to himself, are they going to give it to a proper manager?
And then they're giving it to people who never coached before.
Exactly. Right, I'm in. I want to speak to you.
Yeah.
Well, apparently he's still managed by Darren Dean, David Dean's son, and there is apparently still quite a lot of ill feeling between both the club and the Dean. So I wonder
how true that is.
Realistic all of this is.
Mm. Yes.
As far as I know, it's going to be Arteta.
That seems the most likely choice at this point, doesn't it?
Yeah, Patrick Vieira seemed a bit aggrieved.
He did. Apparently seemed quite miffed, and he said that he felt that the approach that that Arsenal made was kind of, you know, very much just for the sake
talking
of it.
Kind
just,
of like,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I'm a little concerned by this absolute insistence that it has to be someone that's been linked to the club in the past. It doesn't necessarily have to be, because so much needs to change that I think, you know, just a fresh start in as much as is possible is probably a good thing. But, you know, if Arteta
so
comes
who would
in,
you fancy then, Jim, as an Arsenal fan? Of all the names mentioned,
who would be your number one?
Who would be my number one?
It'd be Brendan Rodgers, wouldn't it?
It would not be Brendan Rodgers. No, Allegri would have been the one that I would want from the names linked, but I wonder how realistic that was. And Ancelotti as well. I think this is going to be a very difficult period that needs experience to steward it.
Mm. I think it's all about Brendy for me. They've missed out there.
I don't. I mean, look, at the risk of opening a can of worms here, I genuinely don't know why it's a joke that Rodgers is linked.
I'm not joking.
He's done a good job. He's come very close to winning the Premier League. He's managed big players.
He's cleaning up in Scotland.
Yeah, and I know it's Scotland, but he is cleaning up.
He's done an unbelievably good job.
So yeah, it's not ridiculous.
It isn't ridiculous. I did find it funny that I don't know who was asking him these questions or what if he was volunteering information, but Arsene Wenger in a recent interview saying that a number of years ago he nearly signed Cristiano Ronaldo, but Man United got the player as they bidded more for him. I was like, Wenger, come
I saw
on.
This, and I want to ask Jim about this as the designated Arsenal representative here. Is that there does seem to be a bit of a theme that's run along for a while about players that Arsene Wenger hasn't signed, and like it's some sort of thing to be happy about.
Do an 11, do a best
Messi.
11.
Well, Lionel Messi. He's in there.
Yeah, the Messi one's particularly interesting because it was such a non-story when that came out, because it was basically, we contacted Barcelona to see if he was available when we signed Cesc Fabregas and tried to get Piqué as well, but he wasn't.
Right.
But that's it.
But he had Zlatan.
Yeah.
And
Luis Suarez.
He had Suarez and he had Eden Hazard as well.
Really?
On trial, apparently.
Oh, interesting. Well, there's famous picture of Yaya Toure playing in an Arsenal shirt in like a trial match.
It's mad. Oh, on that, by the way, speaking of midfielders who no longer play for Arsenal,
John Jensen.
Santi Cazorla is off to Villarreal, apparently.
Yeah, for pre-season.
Wish him all the best.
Yeah. Oh, what? So, like playing, not coaching?
He's going back there to play, I think.
Well, I think he's just doing the pre-season. They'll probably assess how he goes. Because not only did he have a terrible injury, he had a really bad infection as well. Yeah, Wenger said it's the worst injury he's seen.
He's got his arm on his leg, hasn't he? Arm on his foot, arm on his ankle.
Yeah, I don't ask accurately, medically accurate, but...
he's got an arm for a leg.
Dr.
As they sign at the Emirates.
Arm for a leg. Mr. McClegg.
It's a respectful way of covering that.
I know, eh? Come on.
Well, he's all right.
All right, Peter, let's talk about Newcastle United.
Yeah. Yeah. The MRSA of the Premier League.
No,
it just clings to everything.
I think Cazorla had gangrene. Still works.
Gangrene.
Well, apparently Mike Ashley has raised the price of Newcastle United to £400 million. Valuable. We are valuable. We are valuable. That is it. That is interesting, though, isn't it, Pete? Does that make you proud?
Yeah, that's the word I'd use, isn't it? Yeah, that's definitely the word I'd use.
Does it make you feel proud that your club's definitely worth £400 million?
But the thing is,
£400 million.
It made me rock back and forth on my chair, going, £400 million. Brilliant.
The flipping London housing market went, oh, come on.
Pete, does it make you happy that you've in some way with your own hard earned money contributed towards that value?
I paid that bloody ticket, didn't I? £100 ticket last week.
Well, he justified this by saying that, well, we're playing Premier League football next season and there's a new domestic TV deal for 2019 to 2022.
Yeah, well, he said that, you know,
£50 million more.
The original valuation was actually £320 million, wasn't it? So it's gone up £80 million in total.
£80 million,
and he said of Amanda Staveley that she is a time waster. Yeah, from what I've read.
But if you're a seller and they're not putting, I don't know if this is the case, but I mean, it's feasible they're not putting up the cash. I mean, from your point of view, maybe you would think they're a time waster. But on the other hand, Mike Ashley is a massive prat.
We've said it before. She's got a reputation for being a bit of a tire kick, and she's got something coming up in the future that means she needs a little bit more legitimacy. Let's say
she's not the problem here.
Well, I think everyone's the problem.
Yeah,
really,
you're the problem, Donnie.
Including yourself.
Everyone is not the problem. Everyone is the problem. That's not Dwight Gayle,
Donnie. Yeah. And also, I saw Fernando Torres.
He is better than Dwight Gayle. Yeah.
Even how do you feel about that? 2-2. How do you feel about that?
It's never going to happen.
Never going to be able to afford his wages.
If Fernando Torres reunited with Rafael Benitez, Mark, wouldn't that be utterly glorious?
If you wouldn't mind, can I just phrase the question more accurately? How would you feel, Fernando Torres hooking back up to Rafa Benitez at whatever club Benitez manages next season? Although he's dodged the West Ham bullet,
he has, yeah.
I mean, he must have rocks in his head.
Yep.
West Ham. I know he's playing. I know he's sort of flirting with Mike Ashley to try and get more funds. Yeah. But even Mike Ashley's going, you're not going to West Ham. They're worse than me.
Does anyone flirt with Mike Ashley?
Who knows? It's a perishing thought.
It certainly is. Good news, though, for Newcastle United. Their under-23s have won the Hong Kong Soccer Sevens tournament.
Yeah, I mean, they always do quite well in that competition.
Yeah, well, the last one...
I love that you know that.
That was the under-17s anyway.
And also very dismissive of it.
Yeah. They've won a tournament, and you're going, well, yeah, we always win that one.
They always do quite well, I seem to recall.
Yeah, they beat Leicester City in the semi-final, Rangers in the final. Apparently, one of their little tactics of putting an outfield player in goal... Actually, with the proper keeper's jersey, so he can join in the attacks and so on, was a stroke of genius.
Well, there you go. Full on futsal.
Yeah, it was sevens tournament.
It's sevens.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know why this is in the running order, but I'll go with it.
He's trying to put a bit of positivity in there. Right?
Was Stephen Gerrard managing the Rangers team or not?
No, I doubt it very much.
Okay, right.
Yeah, he's not going to be there.
He's above it, is he?
But former Magpies boss Steve McLaren is now the QPR manager after Ian Holloway got the boot.
Yeah.
That's right. Sacked in the morning.
I felt a bit sorry for Ian Holloway because he did quite a good job cleaning out a lot of overpaid players in that QPR squad. Mm. And it felt like he was preparing to have a good tilt at it next year. Now he got the team. Because I mean, I was speaking to a QPR friend of mine. He's a producer and he was saying that he goes every week and he was saying it's taken him such a long time to get these big high earners off the wage bill, settle on the team that he wants. And he was actually feeling quite positive about next season. Next thing you know, Holloway's got the boot and Steve McLaren's come in. But McLaren did coach them under Redknapp, didn't he? And I think they played some quite nice stuff when that happened. I might be wrong there.
No, you're right. He was in Redknapp's backroom staff in 2013 at QPR. And McLaren did say, I must admit that I followed the club closely over the last 5 years because of the 3 months I had there. Make what you will of that, whether it's true or not.
Steve McLaren's like managerial career is quite like...
It's a mixed bag.
It's the point where it's quite odd now.
Eccentric.
Because, yeah, it is, because he came through as a really... Obviously, as we all know, he came through as a really highly rated assistant at United, and he was at England for a bit. Did a decent job at Middlesbrough. Then
won
got
the league, won in the League Cup, didn't he? Final of the Europa League. Yeah. Or UEFA Cup, whatever it's called then.
Then got the England job full-time, and then he did well again overseas, 20. Didn't he win the league at 20
as
well?
Was it the first time in their history, or certainly they hadn't won it for years?
Then he went back, didn't go well.
Didn't go brilliantly, no. Wolfsburg, he got sacked.
He's the first
English manager to manage in the Bundesliga, I think.
Right.
And then he was...
Strange old career.
It was very strange. I mean, he was very unlucky not to get Derby promoted when they lost in the playoff final. That was a great shame for him, of course. And his last job as a manager was in March 2017 when he was at Derby, but he was sacked then. And then since then, he's been a coaching consultant at Israeli side Maccabi Tel Aviv until last December. Are they called like Maccabi Tel Donald Trump now or something?
I think it's Beitar Jerusalem have done that.
Very strange stuff. But yeah, we want to distance McLaren from Donald Trump.
Yeah. But he's similar hair though.
Very similar. Yeah. Well, marginally similar.
Well, like a before and after.
Yeah.
who's before and who's after?
The island has become a continent.
But he's back in business. He's back at QPR, so we shall see. But
back
QPR,
at the super hoops.
QPR are a bit ridiculous, aren't they, these days?
You can say that, Marcus. I couldn't possibly comment.
No, I'm just reading your notes.
I got him, didn't I?
Let's talk about the Scottish Cup final. Celtic won it, of course. Brendan Rodgers creates more history with Celtic. The first side in Scotland to do back-to-back domestic trebles, which is a hell of an achievement, but also a little bit depressing if you're a neutral for a team to just be cleaning up. We said this about PSG on the continent, you know, your team just sort of cleaning up. Mm. But as it's Rodgers, I sort of... think
don't mind quite so much.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. With a little wink.
He also had some quite interesting comments after this happened, where he was asked a question or two about Rangers because they've hired Steven Gerrard, and the questions appeared to be sort of loaded with the idea that Rangers are now automatically going to compete because they've got Steven Gerrard, which is obviously a bit of an assumption. And he said, "Well, hang on,
it's a huge assumption.
What about Aberdeen? Aberdeen have come second. You know, was it last few seasons? I think.
I think last season were they second in all competitions to Celtic.
They're unquestionably the second best team in Scotland.
I'd say. Well, yeah. I mean, the league table says.
Yeah, and he was just saying that. Why are you ignoring what Derek McInnes has done there? You
know, McInnes has done brilliantly.
Yeah, but I mean, Rodgers has done fantastically well. Marcus and I were talking about this before we came on. This talk of Rodgers perhaps wanting to win 10 league titles." I mean, you've got to be careful, because with respect to Scottish football, Celtic are a massive club, we know that. Rodgers can't waste the best coaching years of his life at one club cleaning up over and over again where he's finding it easy. I don't think that's the right thing for him to do.
I mean, at some point, surely his own development will stop as well.
Quite, because it would just be too easy for him. So he needs to think about... We're talking about Arsenal earlier. I don't think it's ridiculous at all that he would be linked with the Arsenal job. But if he can take a sizeable job in England or overseas, I think he should consider it. I do. Well, he's done everything already there. He's done it all.
Presumably the Chelsea job will be available soon. Now, I know Sarri, who's currently the Napoli boss, has been linked there. Mm. Now, Sarri's done very well with Napoli and so on, but is he much better than, say, Rodgers as a candidate? For that, Rodgers has worked at Chelsea. Yeah. I'm suddenly linking Rodgers to the Chelsea job. Mm. But
I would say no. I would say he probably isn't.
He was close to winning the Premier League title. He's managed big players, all that kind of stuff. He plays attractive football. I mean, to be honest, not a dissimilar brand of football to Sarri, you could say.
Well, Sarri's never won anything as a coach, as far as I know.
Whereas Rodgers has won a lot.
He has.
You know?
Oh, the double treble. What more do you want?
Cheeky exactly. little treb. Not even Mourinho can do
Cheeky
that.
Cheeky little treb.
Get involved, treb.
Have a little treb.
There we are. Right, before we go to a break, Livingston promoted via the playoffs at the expense of Partick Thistle. Livy, back in the big time. Happy about that, Peter?
I mean, it's not in the running order, so we had no idea you were going to talk about that.
Oh, it's in there. Oh, got to give him a mensch.
Apologise. Apologise to Peter.
Apologise to me and the listeners.
No, you apologise to Livingston. Okay.
Sorry, Livingston.
There we go.
I presume. Actually, I was about to say that.
I meant to say that was it McGregor who scored the first goal in the final for Celtic? The first goal was a peach. If you haven't seen that, do have a look. The touch and shot. Can I? Oh, go on. Tony Ibarra-esque.
Was it?
I might say.
I haven't seen it. I haven't caught up with it.
Yeah.
I'll check it out.
We'll get involved. Yeah, it's a lovely one. A great way to get a cup final going, unless you're a Motherwell fan, of course. Right after the break, we're going to talk about some international football.
Ooh.
It's a fucking disgrace.
Mm-hmm.
Another abusive ID. Pretty abusive for a Monday, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a way to round off a season.
Well, let's look forward to Thursday then, because the preview show sponsored by Bet365 will be out on Thursday afternoon. Luke, how did our better get on?
Lost.
Yeah.
Went with both teams to score on over 2.5 goals. So we're looking for a new best better. And it's a Champions League final this weekend, the big one. So you could make a real name for yourself if you want to put a bet forward. Show at thefootballramble.com. with your suggestions, and I'll dig one out. Before we move on, don't forget we'll be covering all the big European stories, including World Cup squad announcements for teams that aren't England on the continent on Wednesday with James Horncastle and Andy Brassel. So check that out on iTunes or wherever you get your pods. It's not just about Christian Titz, the Hamburg manager.
Not
all. There's lots going on.
There's a few other things. Rajan Nainggolan not getting in the Belgian squad, for example.
That's so weird.
Bowled by Bobby Martin, is that?
Bowled. I enjoyed the... Can I just jump in with the cup final in Germany?
Oh,
yeah. Did you see the x-ray of the cup going through the x-ray machine?
No, I haven't seen that. Eintracht Frankfurt beat Bayern, didn't
they? Yeah, their cup is incredible. I think it might be the best cup in Europe.
It's a massive one.
It's massive with like jewels and shit on it. It's brilliant. I love it.
Yeah, it's
there's some amazing scenes in Frankfurt when they won. It was a proper like, oh, you've won the cup. We're going to come out in droves. It was magnificent.
It looks like a sort of almost like a giant medieval goblet, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
I think a cup should be a cup. Quite often they're trophies, and that seems
or
to
a shield,
been,
a big glass,
forgotten.
A big glass.
Have you seen the Stanley Cup?
That's
NHL.
Too big.
It's like gigantic, isn't it?
Oh, it's absolutely
you take a bath in that.
It's like 6 foot tall. Yeah.
The Champions League's a great trophy itself.
Yeah, it's good. The big one. The big one. The big.
I quite like the Europa League. It's more of a vase, isn't it?
Yeah. Fitting.
I miss the CWC.
Fitting.
All right then, ladies and gentlemen. We are, World Cup fever is
ramping up.
Palpable.
It's about 4.1 on the scale.
In the Ramble studio.
Yeah.
So now we are going to talk about an iconic England moment, of course, because it is our England Moments feature brought to you by LG OLED TV. See it, hear it, feel it, live the game with LG. Proud sponsors of the FA and the England men's teams. Of course, ahead of the World Cup, we're reliving an iconic England moment. Every Monday is chosen by you, the listener, with every moment chosen being entered into a competition to win a brand new LG TV. The winner of the TV will be announced on the final show of this series feature on Monday, the 4th of June. Not that long.
No, not long to go now.
We're very close. Last week, we had England beating the Netherlands 4-1 at Euro 96. This week, Alex Munro has chosen England beating Germany 5-1 in a World Cup 2002 qualifier.
Whoa.
He says, "Hi guys, England beating Germany 5-1 in Munich has to be my all-time high as an England fan. I was a student in Dundee Which doesn't surprise Alex Munro. It's a Scottish name, Munro, of course.
Yeah.
But he claims to be an Englishman.
we'll sniff him out.
Yeah. Well, a student at Dundee, and at the time he'd been taking dog's abuse about England's chances in the week leading up to the game. He said, even my manager at the bar I worked in chipped in and bet me a tenner that Germany would win. As he was a rather scary Scottish football casual, many would have decided it prudent to let the bet slide following our incredible victory. I, however, was so elated that I cashed in with a beaming smile on my face.
A toothless smile. he knocked them all out.
A casual.
This was, I mean, thanks to Alex for bringing this up. This was always going to be in there.
Yeah.
Incredible moment. To put it in perspective for those who are listening outside of either England or the UK.
England scored five and even Heskey scored.
Yeah. It's got its own Wikipedia article, this game. Yeah. Probably the only England qualification game that has.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it also spawned two songs, didn't it? Sven was one of them. I can't remember what the other one was.
It was a competitive football match.
Yeah. Did Anton Deck do a song?
No, they did it on the ball, didn't they?
Right.
Yeah, that was a different one.
Which was a cover, I think.
Yeah. Right.
Do you remember who was on the left in that game?
Barmby.
Yeah, Nick Barmby.
Nick Barmby was. That's right.
In those dark old days where like we just didn't have anyone to play on the left, so they'd try anything.
Do you remember who was the referee?
Kalina.
Yes, it was Kalina, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
So to put it in context...
Because we took them to the Kalinas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put it in perspective, though, Peter, because we've already talked a bit about the England-Greece game, which obviously got us the draw to take us there. But at this point, it was the same qualification campaign, but at this point, England were 6 points behind Germany.
They needed to go to Germany and win.
They had to win. And Germany had lost only one of their previous 60 qualification games, and none of those were at home. There was one for the 86 World Cup, and they lost away from home. At home, they were undefeated in qualification.
It's
quite an unlikely scoreline, isn't it? As unlikely scorelines go, it's up there for me.
Well, but do you know what, though?
Very, very unlikely.
England needing to go somewhere and get something, and then they got something with aplomb.
And that place is Germany.
And that place is in the Olympic Stadium in bloody Munich. I mean, crying out loud.
Well, Germany, I mean, we have to mention him because he is a part of this story somewhere. Germany had beaten England 1-0 at Wembley, the last game at Wembley.
A man.
Under England, of course, were under Kevin Keegan.
Yeah. A man scored, didn't he?
He did. It was a free kick. Skidded off the sodden surface of Wembley. And that game really put England on the back foot through the whole qualifying campaign. It was really between Germany and England who were going to finish first. And as you say, Luke, England went into that game. And England had done well. They picked themselves up and they were winning other qualification games. Needed to win in Germany. And Germany were confident. It wasn't a great Germany side. This was Germany, of course, won the 1990 World Cup. They won Euro 96. And people were saying it was an ageing side in 96. Then in 98, they only got to the quarterfinal. And people were saying, well, we should have done away with some of these players. Euro 2000, like England, they went out in the first round. And people were saying, oh, Germany, they're not who they were.
If you look at the German team for this game.
Big Janker up front.
It's probably two or three household names.
Yeah.
Oliver Kahn, Didi Hamann, and that's only probably because he played in England. Mm-hmm. He's not going to go down as a German great.
Sure,
and Michael Ballack.
Yeah, so it really wasn't a great German side. And Germany go 1-0 up. I think it was Janker who scored.
To be fair, Miroslav Klose did come on, didn't he?
Did he?
So he would be involved.
His time would come later.
Yeah, you'd say he's probably done his bit.
Right. And then the German fans, as they do, started singing It's Coming Home and so on. Mm. And as an England fan, you just thought, oh dear. But England hit back. Michael Owen made it 1-1. And then it changed. And it's a rare moment. England playing away. I remember thinking, this game's here for the taking.
Mm.
Germany are soft. And then on the stroke of halftime, Steven
Gerrard. Well, before that, Oliver Neuwirth had a really good chance to go 2-1 up. And he completely fluffed
it. Was it Deisler? Or were they separate chances? Because
Maybe it was Deisler, maybe. Maybe
you know,
it was.
I don't remember that.
The ball's cut back across. And he's basically got a gaping goal. Seaman might have got across, but he completely scuffs it. I mean, it almost like it hits its standing foot and goes miles wide. Mm. And then after that, it was almost to me.
Or maybe it was that moment then.
Well, because England just thought, there's nothing to be scared of it.
Yeah.
And then they pushed.
Yeah.
And that's when it started to happen.
And that when Gerrard scored on the stroke of halftime, because England was beginning to look the better side, he smashed one in from 25 yards, celebrated. And we got to halftime 2-1. I remember thinking, this is ours.
And, yeah. and Jonathan Pearce's commentary for the Gerrard goal is really interesting. For those who can't remember the goal, ball comes to him outside the area, he chests it down, he sort of half follows it into the bottom corner from quite a long way out.
It's beauty.
And I think it's Jonathan Pearce on commentary says, Steven Gerrard, the future of English football. And I thought, God, I'm old.
Yeah,
I am old.
Yeah,
watching that back, I was like, I am old.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
That was his first goal for England.
Oh, was it really?
Mm, that's right,
That's a pretty good way to open your account, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not bad. And then straight after half-time, was it a little bit of a defensive mix-up or something? And Michael Owen nips in and it's 3-1. Mm. And suddenly England are away in Germany, bossing the game. And it was just a lovely second half. He then runs through, finishes with aplomb. And of course, Heskey makes it 5-1.
Yeah.
And,
you know, lovely setup from Scholes, was it?
Yeah, after an incredible ball from David Beckham, who was phenomenal in that game. He didn't get on the score sheet, so it's not really spoken about as much. But he was everywhere.
Yeah. And it was a funny one because I remember when England went 3-1 up, I mean, this is mad. England away to Germany, and England have been beaten by Germany so many times before. I remember thinking, I won't just be satisfied with a win. We should embarrass them.
Turn the screw.
Yeah, it was madness. And to go away and to win 5-1, I remember the next day, the whole country didn't really know what to do with itself. It was extraordinary. Mm. I mean, the funny thing is, normality was soon resumed, of course. The World Cup comes along, England go out in the quarterfinals, Germany reach the final, you know. Yeah. And then, of course, in subsequent tournaments, Germany got themselves together in World Cup 2006. But it was such... It was almost a cathartic release, I suppose.
It was only the second time England have beaten Germany in a competitive game since 1966.
Yeah.
I remember people...
Well, and
still,
they came one year after each other.
Mm. I remember people still being excited about it, like, a week later. I mean, obviously, I think... 10 days later, September 11th happened, so no one's talking about fucking football. But, like, I remember people still being excited, buzzing about it 7 days later, which is, like, insane.
I was absolutely hammered. I was really, really drunk. I watched it in a pub which is no longer there in Leon Silent.
Because you smashed up that night.
You went that big. Yeah. It was me.
So people just said,
plastic patio furniture.
This has got to stop. and they closed the whole pub down.
Yeah. But it was because of that result, really, that England thought, oh, we're qualified now. And then
is it fair to say, Marcus, is it fair to say when we fast forward, if we made to World Cup 2002, that Germany may have indeed had the last laugh?
Well, that's what I said. Normality was soon resumed. You know?
Because Oliver Kahn, who was dreadful in that game, won the Golden Gloves in the World Cup. Germany got to the final.
Yeah, but I mean, they were beaten 2-0 by Brazil, whereas England, of course,
beaten 5-1.
Were only beaten 2-1.
Yeah, that is true. That is very true, yeah. After being a goal ahead and Brazil had 10 men. worth putting that one out. What better way to experience more England moments this summer if you aren't travelling to Russia than with an LG OLED TV and soundbar? To win a new LG TV, just email in to competition@thefootballramble.com and let us know your favourite England moment for that chance to win. We will, of course, be choosing the winner from the shortlist we've compiled across the weeks. Got a couple of weeks left, and the winner will be announced on the 4th of June.
Delightful. Well, there we are, ladies and gentlemen.
Speaking of soundbars, R.I. rest in peace, the Leon Solent bar that you... destroyed that night.
The Bellevue Hotel and Bar.
Bellevue Hotel and Bar.
I did not destroy it. I think it was developed for luxury apartments, Peter.
A truly sound bar.
Yeah. Mm. Well, that's our latest England moment there, ladies and gentlemen, brought to you by LG OLED TV. See it, hear it, feel it, live the game with LG, proud sponsors of the FA and the England men's teams. There we are, gentlemen. We've come to the end of the Football Ramble. It's been ruddy marvellous talking to you, the listeners, and talking to you, my friends.
Who did you like the best? Listeners.
The listeners, as always. Yeah. Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Jimmy.
Goodbye, listeners.
Say goodbye, Petey.
Get your tits out.
All right, then.
Peter.
What?
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
and receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.